As I said earlier, this is Trinity Sunday. The Trinity, many names in Scripture, as you heard, although the word Trinity is never used in Scripture. It is a biblical or doctrinal construct that came about well after the Gospels and the Epistles were written. It is by far the most complicated, I believe, doctrine of the church. It is something that other Abrahamic faiths, Judaism and Islam, just can't abide by. They just cannot fathom that a monotheistic religion, which we claim to be, can be expressed in a three-part Trinity. Many children's sermons, thanks be to God that Sarah didn't do that this morning, have tried to unravel the mystery of the Trinity. This one you may know. God is like water and can exist as liquid, steam, or ice. Have you heard that one? Raise your hand if you've ever heard a children's sermon like that. Okay, so problem. Water doesn't exist in all three of those simultaneously. It becomes a liquid, or it becomes steam, or it becomes ice. And this, in essence, became a heresy of the early church called modalism, whereby God is said to be expressed fully in one mode as either fully the Father, fully the Son, or fully the Holy Spirit at one time and not the other persons of the Trinity. There became a problem from that when Jesus was on the cross. If one believed that God's fullness was on the cross, then if Jesus died fully on the cross, the Father died, the Holy Spirit died, all of God went out of existence or went to another place for 3 days. Well, you can see the problem with that. If all creation hangs together because God exists, that would be a problem. So, they dismissed that. On the other end of the spectrum is one where we try to retain the individual persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So then we don't confuse them. We draw maybe circles. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Perhaps a point of intersection right in the middle. You've seen that. Raise your hand. Ever seen a depiction where they have, yes, you've seen that too. Problem is sometimes that can venture too far so that they exist without necessarily the full intersection of each other. And that becomes tritheism, three gods. So, the true nature of the Trinity is a mystery. A mystery that cannot be solved, I believe, ever. It can often be described beyond the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creator, redeemer, sustainer, the actions of the God. You heard that in the litany we did this morning. The relationship as we experience it. Not trying to describe how it exists in its ultimate form. It's a dynamic relationship. It involves a complex interplay of the persons that cannot be diagrammed or neatly differentiated. There's a Greek word that I shared with a class that we did this past spring called perichoresis. In the early church fathers, they tried to capture that dynamic. The word is compound, peri meaning around, choresis actually means to dance, where we get the word choreography. It ultimately came to mean a rotation. So you can see a movement within the Trinity itself, almost in aspect to the earth as we experience God. Well, I prefer the rather literal, the dance around. A member of our church recently reminded me, when it is done well, dance involves two people so connected that the one can anticipate the other's movements. There's little concern then of who leads and who follows when both are so in sync that they dance with a perfect rhythm with each other. The divine dance is a perfect expression, I believe, of the interplay in the Godhead. There is no hierarchy. There is no subordination. It is equality perfected. Jesus had a lot to say, especially in John's Gospel, about the relationship within what we call the Trinity or the Godhead, most especially in John's Gospel. In some places, he says things like, the Father is greater than he, and another, that he and the Father are one. And another, when people see him, they see the Father. You hear the complexity there? How do you make that work? It's no wonder that it's difficult to diagram that relationship. If we try to make the Trinity into a hierarchy, then Jesus' words seem to contradict each other. But if we envision the relationship as a dance, then we see that it has a fluid reality. The Father leads, the Son follows, and yet they move as one. Just last week, we heard how the Father will send the Holy Spirit upon Jesus' departure. The Holy Spirit has been the person of the Trinity whom the church doctrine has unfortunately subjected to this subordination. St. Augustine in his theology has this idea and diagrams, again a problem, the Father and the Son almost on an equal level, and then they shows the Holy Spirit beneath both of them. His doctrine became conspiration, that the Father and the Son conspired, breathed together the Holy Spirit. This is one reason I believe that the Holy Spirit has been considered the junior partner in the Trinity. Consider the Apostles' Creed. God is given the great descriptors of the maker of heaven and earth. Jesus' life is covered from conception to ascension. And then comes the final clause. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Did you notice it? There's no description of the role of the Spirit. Why? Well, it may be that those who constructed the creed did not see it as having a role apart from delivering messages from the Father and the Son. And yet in this passage from John, Jesus is saying that he cannot say everything to the disciples, that it will overwhelm their senses. And so they need a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will guide them into all truth. It is a Spirit of truth that will transmit the words of Jesus, that will of Jesus will be imparted to them from the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be the one who invites the disciples into the divine dance. The essence of God is perfect community, where all is shared, all is equal, all is in harmony. The Holy Spirit invites us into the dance. And when we accept that invitation, we begin to see our lives are not distinct or apart from God, but fully relying upon God, just as Jesus said. Only when we dance with God can we begin to see that life is most beautiful when we relinquish our desire to be set apart and above others and instead invite them to join the dance. There's a story about a little boy who was about 10 years old. He was standing before a shoe store on a roadway, barefooted, peering through the window and shivering in the cold. A lady approached the young boy and said, "My, but you're in such deep thought staring in that window." The boy said, "I was asking God to give me a pair of shoes." The lady took him by the hand, went into the store, and asked the clerk to get half a dozen pairs of socks for the boy. She then asked if he could give her a basin of water and a towel. He quickly brought them to her. She took the little fellow to the back part of the store and, removing her gloves, knelt down, washed his feet, and dried them with a towel. By this time, the clerk had returned with the socks. Placing a pair upon the boy's feet, she purchased him a pair of shoes. She tied up the remaining pairs of socks and gave them to him. She patted him on the head and said, "No doubt you will be more comfortable now." As she turned to go, the astonished kid caught her by the hand and, looking her in the face, tears in his eyes, asked, "Are you God's wife?" That's what it looks like when one dances with God. So intimately was this woman in that dance that she wanted to bring this boy into that reality too. What did he sense? Did her actions sound familiar to you, perhaps? A story about another man who washed someone's feet and said, "Do this for others. By this they will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." This woman not only danced with God, she danced with that boy. The boy may have wondered, did he really matter to God? The woman showed him, "Yes, you do. You're invited to the dance." The divine dance is what we are all invited to join if we are willing. If we are willing to trust the Holy Spirit to show us truth that may be at times hard to accept at first, and yet Jesus speaks his words of life and reminds us of what we are to do in any given situation, and in doing so, the dance moves on all the time and becomes more harmonious and more beautiful with each other. It may be that we are afraid to join the dance because we think we're not worthy, or that we will misstep, or maybe that the circle has been closed off because of what we have been told in the past about God. Friends, it is never closed. The good news is there's a place in the circle for everyone. The divine dance encircles all people and all creation. That spirit beckons others to be invited to dance with God. In a society that is prone to keep people out, God invites them in. In a society that constantly wants to protect itself by closing the circle, God breaks open the circle so that others may join in. The song is playing. God is waiting for you. Are you ready to dance? All glory be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.